time to listen to the interviews from Island Life on Saturday, the 3rd of August 2013. Island Life is our weekly magazine show focusing on Waiheke people, events and issues. It's brought to you every Saturday morning from 10 till 12 by the Humble Pie Village Butchery. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Oniroa. On Saturday, the 3rd of August, Jan Scott talked to Stuart Valvin about local shopping campaign, Totally Local, Bernard Rhodes and Alex Balfour about the Waiheke Working Sail Trust, Fiona Gregory from Waiheke Adult Learning, and ballroom dancer Helga Mayer.
And now it's my great pleasure to say good morning and welcome to Stuart Valvin. Welcome, Stuart.
Thanks very much, Jan.
And we're here to talk about this wonderful new campaign that's just kicked off this week in the last couple of days called Totally Locally. And you're going to tell us something about that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a it's a campaign that's come from, based from the UK, a couple of great gentlemen that initiated it. Their names were Chris and Nigel. And they had the idea over there. There's a lot of small villages, I think, in the UK that they saw the benefits of people supporting the local business. And these two gentlemen started the campaign and got the ball rolling, all voluntary work. And after 4 years or so, they've got a number of villages around the UK that are very successful with this campaign, and it's done huge amounts for them. So Anne from Take Note in Oniroa, which is UK being her hometown, spotted this campaign and thought of how well it would adapt to Waiheke.
So basically, what is the purpose of the campaign?
Well, the idea is to, well, it's probably in people's minds anyway, but it's just to support local business. So for people just to think a little bit more before they shop and before they do something, and just think, wow, well, could I spend that money locally rather than taking it off, you know, off island sort of thing. So to keep the money going round, if you like.
And it doesn't have to be an awful lot, does it?
Doesn't have to be a lot. No, $1 or $5, $10. What? Obviously, the more the merrier, so to speak. But yeah, no, just whatever you can do, and if it can stay on the island or in local business, then all the better.
Absolutely, and particularly over the winter months when things are a bit quiet and we don't have many tourists around.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Absolutely. So it's can be quite tough for a lot of the businesses over winter, as you say. So yeah, there's a lot of people living on the island now, and the people that commute, perhaps everyone's a part of it, but the people that commute and the likes, we just need to try and encourage them to maybe think of, rather than buying that, going to the pharmacy in town, then maybe wait till they get back to the island and spend the money there. That sort of thing is sort of part of the campaign, yeah.
And I think too that people don't always realise what good value you can get on the island. John Hawkesby wrote a very good article in the a few weeks back about buying a fridge from Ostend, from New Gen.
Right.
And how the deal he got was just as good as he would have got in town.
Yeah,
he didn't
absolutely.
Have to pay freight on it. And, so people need to bear that in mind.
That's right. And that's a great example. I mean, I know that a lot of the businesses like New Generation and Gulf Sound and Vision, and their prices are really great. And they'll, if you say to them often, they'll that you've seen a price in town, they'll often try and meet it or better it, or you know, match it if they can.
Absolutely.
So
how are you going to, how's the campaign going to unfold?
Okay, so what happened was we had an initial, once the idea got going, and put it to, I think, Liz Waters and Kelly at Gulf News, and they sort of got the ball rolling, and once they got hold of it, it sort of really gained momentum. So we had a pre-launch at Sandbar a couple of weeks ago, and myself and Jenny from Gulf Sound and Vision, we created a little team, if you like, and got a few ideas together, and had a bunch of business people meet at Sandbar, and had a Sandbar generously put on a few drinks and nibbles for us, and we Skyped Chris from the UK. He came in, it was I think sort of 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning his time, so it was very good of him. He's a lovely guy, obviously given a lot to this campaign, very generous, and we just had a good talk about it, and everyone was very positive, and yeah, a lot of energy around it, and it can only be good for the business of Waiheke and for the community as a whole. So yeah, there's a lot of positive, and one of the underlying things that he mentioned about the campaign is just to be nice to everyone. It's not a it's not a I can do this and how to make money out of it necessarily. It's just a everyone. Hopefully, everyone benefits as a community from it. Yeah.
Mm. Okay, so you've got lots of posters and stickers and flyers that'll be out there.
Yeah, we've done. The web, the UK has a website, totallylocally.uk, I think it is, .co.uk, and we've got the Waiheke website. We've got totallylocallywaiheke.co.nz, and we've also got the Facebook Totally Locally Waiheke page as well. So they both seem to be working really well, and there's been a lot of hits on the Facebook page. And there's the idea is that you can actually get the files if you want to download these posters just to display in your, if you're a business, to display in your shop at A4, A3 size, or if you want to go a bit bigger. We are at Pukeko Signs, we're printing off some of the bigger A2 and A1 type posters, and we've also got stamps and bumper stickers and a stamp and stamp pad sort of thing that you can purchase. And so that, I mean, these are things you're going to have for a long time, hopefully, and have in your shop, and you can stamp the products. And yeah,
so people will be able to pick up something like a bumper sticker from the shops that are participating.
That's right, yeah. There's a few shops specifically that I think like New Generation and Escapade and Pukeko Signs and a few places around that will have the stickers that you can grab them from, yeah, and right. I think Golf News as well. So, yeah, and I should also mention Thomas from the Island Computer Guy. He's been done a great amount on the website and done a lot of put a lot of effort into that, which is, you know, really great, and built the Facebook page and so on. So, and again, it's all stuff that's just been done, you know, voluntary to help the campaign gain momentum, if you like.
So, is there anything, for instance, when I go into a local shop and buy goods, do I get a tick on a card, or is there anything that I have physically that explains that I'm a supporter?
Physically, no, but mentally and emotionally, you'll be feeling a lot better for yourself.
Absolutely,
so, yeah, you'll be. You know, it's a feel good sort of thing, I guess. So the fact that you're supporting local business, I think, you know, the bumper stickers are a couple of dollars if you wanted to get one of those and put that on your car. There's a few of them out there already, I've seen. Just sort of building the momentum and the bit of awareness of the campaign and being. Making people aware that we're a community and we're a part of this whole thing together and supporting each other as businesses and as people in the community as well. So,
I would expect that there wouldn't be too many businesses on the island that wouldn't participate in this.
Well, exactly. That's what we certainly like to think, and that has been the feedback we've had so far. It's been all very positive. There's no one really who's that we've heard of that's against it. And, you know, why would you be? It's sort of it benefits everyone, and it doesn't mean you have to sell local produce to be a part of it or anything like that either. You could be you can sell foreign goods. It's just the fact that people are coming to you and you yourself are supporting other businesses. It's just yeah,
right. So is it would it extend to Countdown, for instance? Would they be able to be part of this campaign?
It's a good question. Yes, of course, I would say. In some ways it does target them to some extent, because you're encouraging people to shop at places like, you know, your fruit and veg and your butcher and those places that are more more community-owned, if you like. But Countdown is still a part of the community. It still employs local people. So, and there's things that Countdown offer that you can't get anywhere else on the island. So, you know, by all means, they're a part of it too. But it's not just your butcher and your fruit and veg sort of type shops. It's the wine shop. It could be your accountant or dentist or doctor, pharmacy, anything really, any of those businesses that there's little sewing businesses, you know, people working from home, that sort of thing. So just thinking, I wonder if there's anyone on the island, maybe use the community page on Facebook to just ask the question, is there someone on the island that does this, before you start looking on town. And another part of it is the online shopping these days, which is quite big. So I guess it's just sort of the same thing, you know, can you purchase that item online before you go looking elsewhere off island.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking to Stuart Velvin about the Totally Locally campaign to encourage people to spend a few dollars in their local shops rather than buying in town and bringing it back over here. You're listening, of course, to Island Life on Waiheke Radio, which is your community radio station. So, Stuart, you're involved with Pukeko Signs. How long have you been there?
Pukeko Signs have been going for about 11 years now. So, yeah, it's been...
And did you start it up?
We did, yeah. We actually started it when my wife and I, Bridget, we moved to the island, and there was Snapper Signs and Graphics, as it was at the time, and Jan from Snapper, he's now Snapper Graphics. He wanted to get out of the signage side of things, so we bought a few bits and pieces off him and started Pukeko Signs as a new business, and it's just sort of growing from there. Yeah, it's we moved into the new building we're in about 5 years ago. We spent the first 5 years in a little porticon with a few shipping containers, and just slowly growing from there.
So you're a sign writer by trade, are you?
No, I'm not actually. No, I worked for 3M, the big American corporate, as a graphics specialist for them, and based in Wellington. And so it had a lot to do with the signage industry, and sort of learned a lot about it. And I did deal with a lot of the people that were sign writers, and actually got involved in the apprenticeship course for sign writing, but never actually been a sign writer myself, yeah.
Uh-huh. So what sort of graphics do you mainly do at Pukeko Signs?
A lot of it's digital print, so it could be vehicle graphics. We do pretty much any sign you see around the island we've had something to do with, apart from the street signs, which is a nationwide campaign. So a lot of the retail, shop fronts, sandwich boards, vehicles, trucks, diggers, boats, banners, stickers, business cards, design, anything pretty much that...
So nothing too small, nothing too big.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Are you involved in the design side?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, we do a lot of design. Even with this campaign, I've spent quite a bit of time sort of doing design on some of the things that we've got here. Some of it's downloadable from the website, but not all of it was totally, you know, how we wanted it to. We didn't have the round for the stamp sort of thing, so we had to play around and create a few things. But yeah, no, definitely do design.
Is it intended that the website for Totally Locally will eventually have a list of businesses on the island? It'd be like a yellow pages, if you like, on the net, so that people can go to your website and find out whether there's an upholsterer or a carpenter or a...
I don't know that it would get that far, to the point where it's competing with the likes of the Yellow Pages or other directories. So I think, you know, the idea is there could be a link, certainly from if you have a website, to the Totally Locally website, and vice versa maybe. But I don't think it needs to be as a directory as such.
Right, because there's nowhere at the moment, I think, that you can go to see what, you know, what is available on the island if you're thinking of buying something or having something done, like upholstery, for instance.
Right.
Do
that's
you have
a good
to
point.
Send it off? Do you have to send it off island? Or I happen to know there is an upholsterer on the island, but a lot of people may not realise that.
Yeah. Well, you know, you could probably just Google it as a starting point, which is what I normally always do, and just hopefully they've got a website or something that you can find them on.
Yeah, and also of course the marketplace does a Yellow Pages version for Waiheke.
Exactly.
And so hopefully those businesses will be in there, and people can easily find out whether there is a local that they can go to rather than going offshore.
That's right. Yeah, so, absolutely.
So this Totally Locally campaign, where to from here?
Right. Well, we had the official launch was on the 1st of August, so that was... to put a few signs out around the island, and Norm and Fleur from Island Print have been distributing flyers and brochures and that sort of thing. So it's really just it's an ongoing campaign. It's not a flash in the pan sort of thing. So it's going to be hopefully people in business will have the posters up and just supporting the idea and getting anyone who comes in to maybe spend an extra dollar or two in their shop, if you like. So yeah, that's something that will hopefully go on for a long time, and tourists that come to the island will undoubtedly spot the campaign and see the posters and the Totally Locally Waiheke concept around, and hopefully it'll encourage them to spend a bit more too while they're here.
So you're going to do a bit of saturation marketing?
Well, yeah, it's up to the individual really, but the idea is that all the businesses on the island perhaps have something in their shop just to something visible, so people that walk in are constantly reminded that, hey, we're part of a community. The dollars that you spend with us go around, and if someone comes into Pukeko Signs and buys something, then we go, we buy our clothes on the island and we go for dinner on the island, and the money all stays on the island and goes around several times before it eventually leaves. So
yeah. And I guess the success of the campaign won't really be known until you do your end of year accounts and see whether your take is up on last year or not.
Yeah, well, that's true. It's I hadn't really thought of that side of it, but I think people will, just hopefully businesses do get that increase in traffic flow, or it'll be an interesting one to find out actually.
Do you know if there's still a business association on the island?
Yes, I believe there is a business network. There's been a few come and go I know of, but I think there is one. They had a meeting at Charlie Farley's a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
Business networking, yeah.
Because that'd be a group to get
absolutely
in behind
And I was actually invited to go along to speak at it the other night, but I couldn't make it. But that's a great idea and definitely a good place to get involved with it, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we wish you every success for the Totally Locally campaign, and we encourage everybody out there on Waiheke to get in behind it. After all, it is going to keep our island economy going and hopefully create jobs, and so people don't have to commute and they can get a job on the island. That'd be great.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, so all the best for that, Stuart. Thank you very much for coming in and telling us about the Totally Locally campaign.
Thanks very much, Jan. Been a pleasure, and thanks for getting me in here.
My pleasure.
You're listening to Waiheke Radio, 88.3 and 107.4 FM.
And now it's my pleasure to say welcome to Bernard Rhodes and to... hold everything. We're going to turn
Island
that
Life.
Jolly old car
Waiheke
off.
Waiheke People, Events and Issues, brought to you every Saturday morning from...
Here we go. Yes, so we're welcoming Bernard Rhodes and Alex Balfour from the Waiheke Working Sale Trust. Welcome to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, now tell us something about the Waiheke Working Sale Trust. Yeah. Whose bright idea was it?
Yes, it came as a result of some friends wondering if they could bring their organic food to Waiheke under sale.
Rather than by the car ferry, financially that's not practicable these days. Although in the old days, of course, it used to be done, but it led to the concept of a sailing ship based on Waiheke, and that led on to the concept of sail training. I worked some years ago as a volunteer on the Spirit of New Zealand and found it was one of the most satisfying things I'd ever done. I really have a great belief in the value of sail training for youth development. These kids come aboard wondering what on earth they let themselves in for, and at the end of 9 days they go ashore going, yay, I can do it, and gain enormously in their self-confidence and all the really useful life skills. So we were looking at building a ship for Waiheke, which is a sail training ship but could also carry cargo in emergency or for special purposes such as boutique wines, looking for carbon credits and so on, to carry it under sail, that kind of thing. Yeah.
And this is the Kate?
The initial concept, we were looking around at second-hand boats on the market. There was nothing suitable. We were thinking about raising finance to build a new ship, but then the Kate came along. She became available, and she is unique as one of only three surviving sailing trading cutters from the 19th century. And so the Trust has bought her for $2,000.
Wow, that's great. Yeah. Is she a New Zealand made or built vessel?
Yes, yes. She was built on the Kaipara Harbour near Dargaville in 1884, 129 years old.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, like, where is she at the moment?
She's on the causeway. Yes, she's been in Portigui Bay for about 20 years now, in various stages of being refitted, and was used as a houseboat for quite a while, but had fallen on hard times. And yes, 2 years ago I did some repair work on her to enable her to be floated, but it wasn't a complete refit by any means. Yeah.
Right, and this is where you're looking for volunteers to help restore her.
Definitely. I'm a volunteer, in fact.
Yes.
And, we're working under Bernard's direction, supervision. He's very experienced, and we're looking forward to getting a good team together.
So that's where you come into it, Alex?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. Have you got any experience in this field at all, or are you just an enthusiastic person?
I'm an enthusiastic person, and I've been a small boat sailor in the past. However, I guess my interest is mainly in the marketing and publicity side. I have already made a small video about the Coriolanus, which is up on YouTube, and I'm actually making a movie also about the restoration as it goes on.
Oh, brilliant. So what is the Coriolanus?
Yeah, perhaps I could explain that. She's a miniature topsail schooner. She's 23 feet or 7 metres long. About the tie designer built for a client 32 years ago. She has 9 sails when everything is set, although she's really quite a small little cruising boat. And, to cut a long story short, she was given to me all in pieces about 5 years ago. The previous owner had been restoring her, but it was kind of beyond him and his health was failing. And I've re-rigged her with the aid of two boys who live on a boat nearby, and got her sailing again with all 8 of the 9 sails up. We don't use the 9th one very much. And she's just a very pretty little ship. She's like a perfect miniature of the sailing trading ships of 100 years ago. And we have a lot of fun sailing around looking pretty.
And is she at Putiki Bay as well?
Yes, she has a mud berth up in the mangroves there. And in the summer I bring her out and put her on a mooring further out there, yes.
Oh, wonderful. I think, you know, maybe the Rocky Bay Cruising Club will need to get you along to the next regatta.
yes, we might do that, actually. I also sail a trimaran and race with
her. Yes, you usually do, don't you?
Yes. So if I get too old for that, then Coriolanus can be the flagship, yes.
No, actually, I'm just looking at the photograph of her. She looks absolutely gorgeous. Yeah. So how far down the track are you with restoring the Kate?
It's early days yet. The big project now is fundraising, really. We've cleaned her out and are assessing the condition of the hull, and in the process of drawing plans for her, we've taken off measurements to make what's called a table of offsets, which are used to draw out the shape of the hull. We have to calculate displacement, and there will need to be plan approval so that she can be licensed to carry passengers, so we need a set of plans for her, and to work out issues like stability at large angles of heel and so on, which are quite stringent for passenger carrying.
Mm. How many passengers would she be able to carry when she's fully restored?
Drawn an accommodation plan that would give 6 berths for trainees in basic canvas pipe cot bunks, as on the Spirit of New Zealand, and a mate and a master, so 8 people altogether.
Mm. Yeah. That's pretty good. And how's the fundraising campaign going? What are you doing to raise funds, Alex?
Well, we've got together a mission statement. We've prepared a document, which you see in front of you for the pitch. We're building a database. We have already made presentations to Rotary. We have a website, which, of course, is Waiheke
Working Sail. Yeah, .onewaiheke.org, isn't it? Yes.
But if you just Google Waiheke Working Sail, that will pick it up.
Right.
So that shows the development so far on the website. But yes, we are putting together a package and we're approaching people. Mm. We're considering also approaching community trusts. And we'll also be having events and fundraising that way.
Mm. Yeah.
Right.
Yes, the website, we're setting up a system for donating online as well. We have a very competent webmaster, fortunately,
who's brilliant.
Setting all this up, yes.
Yes, because that's the way to go these days, I think.
Mm,
That's called Give a Little.
Yes.
One of those websites, which is called Give a Little, which we'll be using, yeah.
Right. Mm.
So there's various strands, and there's a lot of community support, I think, and interest in this. A lot of people on the island who are interested in sailing. There is a very similar vessel to this in the Maritime Museum, the Rewa, which was owned by people on the island, and we have had a lot of support all around, really, I think. Mm. So, yeah.
So what sort of figure are we looking at to fundraise?
Over the full period of restoration, it's looking just over 200,000. This would pay a tradesman boat builder and two apprentices for about a year's work, something like that. I'm prepared to donate the design work for it, but there's also quite a lot of offers for volunteer labour. The main problem is it needs to be somewhat skilled labour, people who have carpentry experience at least, sort of thing. But there are other projects, cleaning up and preparing a cradle and launching and so on, where we hope to get a community event going around it, sort of thing, and everyone can pitch in and give a hand where possible. I very much want the ship to be owned by the community, and that's the feeling I get from everyone I talk to these days. Yes,
that would be great. Of course, it is a trust, and I guess that the trustees are. Do you elect them, or is that, how does that work?
We sort of met with just friends and friends of friends kind of thing. We have four trustees now, yes, and we are incorporated as a charitable trust. Right. And we've applied for a tax exemption so that donations are tax exempt as well.
Oh, that'd be
that's
great.
In the pipeline now. Yes. Right.
Can I just mention, we also have a very experienced accountant on board, if you pardon the pun. he's on the island, and he knows all about... historic ships, and we're very pleased to have them on board.
Oh, that's brilliant. It sounds like you're getting a good team together. You're listening to Island Life on Waiheke Radio, your community radio station, and we're talking to Alex Balfour and Bernard Rhodes about the Waiheke Working Sail Trust, which is has bought the vessel, the Kate, and is in the process of raising funds to restore her to her former glory. And one of the things that interested me, Bernard, that you said at the beginning, is that one of the Kate's roles might be to be a cargo ship bringing produce across from the mainland.
Yes.
Yes. That sounds like a great idea.
Yes, well, that was her original role. She would have been a utility pickup truck for the Kaipara Harbour before there were any roads. In the days when she was built, internal combustion engines hadn't even been invented. So we're planning to put a large hatch in the main cabin so that you could drop a pallet load of produce inside her. And she could be used if any commissions were, came up, sort of thing, any projects. She could carry 2 or 3 tons of cargo like that. It would be symbolic in terms of supplying the island's needs. But
would that create a problem at this end for unloading?
Possibly. It could obviously be loaded and unloaded by hand if you have a bunch of burly teenagers. Yes. They can do quite a lot of work. But the idea is to have the hatch big enough to drop a pallet through. So if you get a truck with a hire nearby on Kennedy Point Wharf, you could soon pull out a pallet load of cargo, yes.
Mm.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, too, that a vessel like that could be very handy in times of emergency, of a civil defence or something of that sort. She doesn't need
quite a lot of us have thought about this scenario, yes, that the ferries go down for whatever reason, suddenly the diesel dries up or whatever, and we are extremely dependent on that. She could be the sort of figurehead of a mosquito fleet, I would say. Obviously a ship that size, or even the larger ship we were thinking of building, would come nowhere near supplying a countdown with all their supplies and those huge trucks and trailers that come over every day. But yes, it could be the centre of an organisation to,
well, medical supplies and that sort of thing.
Yes, to get vital stuff across to cope with possible emergencies in the future, yes.
Have you got a timeline for this? Restoration work.
Given the finance, it would be about a year's work, but we first have to raise the finance, and we're preparing some premises on the causeway as well. We're organising for use the remains of another boat, which we're demolishing as a shed, so that we can lock up our tools and have a basic space inside to do the laminating work and so on.
That's good, and you've got the approval to do that.
Yes, the boating club are on side with us and support very
it's supportive. Part of their, it's part of their
yes,
grounds.
And
is it?
The council are happy we're clearing up one of their derelict boats.
Oh, that's good. So it's a win-win.
Yes, that's right. Yes, yeah. So it's kind of a sideline project, but while we're fundraising, we're getting on with that.
Yeah.
And, yes.
I was just thinking of the campaign for raising funds for the movie theatre here and how they started off suggesting that people put in $10 a month or whatever.
Yeah.
And that seemed to work quite well because it gave the general public the opportunity to contribute, even though they couldn't contribute a lot. And some people think in an instance where people are fundraising that you need to give a good chunk of money, and a lot of people can't afford to do that. But their $5 a week or whatever mounts up.
I think that was a very successful campaign. They did have some celebrity endorsement, though.
Well, that's true.
But we're happy, of course, to get celebrity endorsement as well.
But then again, I mean, the idea's out there.
Yes.
Yeah, well, there are a number of high-profile yachts people on the island.
Yes.
There are indeed, just down in the bay we're overlooking at the moment.
Yes. Yes, we're just beginning that process now. I've got together this draft pitch document, which I'm checking out with some friends who know about these things, and we'll definitely be going around looking for some serious fundraising, to make this all happen. Yes,
and especially with the summer coming up, you could do some good nautical fundraising things, beach activities or whatever.
A good time to give a plug for the Tall Ships Race, which is coming into Auckland on Labour Weekend.
Is it really?
Yeah, there's six.
I thought Auckland Council wasn't going to fund that. I'm really pleased about that.
No, they've come on board. They're providing free berthing in Auckland.
Oh, that's great.
Six big square riggers, some from the Northern Hemisphere, Holland and England, coming down to Sydney and then racing across to Opur and then sailing down the coast. The Friday of Labour Weekend, they'll be sailing into Auckland and mooring up in downtown.
Oh, wow.
And I've got a berth for my little Coriolanus in the Maritime Museum for that weekend.
Oh, excellent.
So we'll be sailing around, flying the flag, and hopefully getting some publicity for our project there.
That's brilliant.
A good idea. A Waiheke working sail flag, of course, on the Coriolanus.
Yeah.
Yes.
We have to design a logo and make a flag next. Yes.
Exactly.
Well, in fact, we are working on a logo right now. Bernard has a few ideas, I think.
Yeah.
Yes, and get that out there so that people know what it's all about. Talking about knowing what it's all about, in case you've just tuned in, we're talking to Alex Balfour and Bernard Rhodes from the Waiheke Working Sail Trust, and they're hoping to, well, they're going to restore the Kate. They've bought this lovely looking vessel that was built in 1884, and they're trying to raise funds to restore her, which will take about a year. And they're in the early days of it. So whereabouts are you up to with the project now? I think I read a couple of weeks ago in one of the local newspapers that you had a working bee and you sort of cleaned out the inside of the Kate and got rid of a lot of rubbish and debris and stuff.
Yes, yeah, that's right. Yes, we've cleaned it up and we've measured, taken off the measurements, the lines of the boat, and we're now in the process of trying to put that into a computer. We need somebody with a computer knowledge of ship design work in computers. While I'm qualified as a naval architect, I haven't got into the computerized design work. The programs have been very expensive. There are some free downloads online, and I'm just trying to get my head around those at the moment. But we also have a friend who is a retired naval architect on the island, Bruce Woods, who came with me and looked over the boat, and we shared ideas on how we're going to strengthen her up. And for example, she'll need a watertight bulkhead in her to qualify as a passenger carrying boat, so this is an addition we have to make, and the ballast arrangements have to be changed a bit and so on. But I have a clear plan in my mind of how we'll go about that, and we can't know everything until we start pulling her apart. Some of the planks that are a bit suspect. With repair work, you never know what you're getting into until you, as is bad as with houses, and it's nearly always worse than you thought. So, but I've allowed for that in my estimations, and hopefully we'll be somewhere near on target.
So what is the Kate made of?
The whole planking is kauri, and the frames are grown pahutukawa knees and crooks. They used to walk along the beach with a saw looking for suitably shaped branches for the frames, and when they found one, they'd cut it down and make the frames out of it. Wow. And that's nowadays that's not the done thing, of course. So as we're replacing the frames, we'll be laminating them. We take a hardwood such as the Australian eucalyptus, which we can get a hold of easily, and saw it into thin strips and glue and bend it around and glue it together, which makes actually a stronger job than the original. But the original, will keep it where we can, because she is a heritage vessel, and we will be preserving that part of the heritage that remains with her, yes.
I must admit, I've never thought of Pohutukawa as being a building wood, or a wood that you would build anything out of. Mm. How well has it stood up to the test of time?
Oh, it's amazingly durable wood, where it's not been subjected to fresh water ingress and that sort of thing. In the salt water, it lasts really well, yes. Okay. Yes.
Because she's nearly 130 years old, isn't she?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
That's an awful long time.
Yes, yeah. She's been much repaired and patched in over the intervening years. Quite a bit of the repair work's been indifferent quality, to put it politely. Fishermen have obviously whacked a patch on quick to get out fishing again and that sort of thing. We intend to replace that with clear new lengths of planking. We have some source of some second-hand cowrie, and we'll, as I say, replace the Pohutukawa frames with laminated hardwood frames. Yes.
Right. It's a pity you can't restore her, you know, in the original timbers, I suppose, in one sense, but...
Yes.
Well, I think Bernard's got the knowledge to do a very thorough job, so... I think he and the team know a lot about boat building and as a naval architect.
Yes, exactly. Mm. And when you think about modern houses that are built today to look like a return veranda villa that looks as though it's been there for 100 years, so the technology and the is there for you.
Yeah. Mm.
So the main expense to restore the Kate, is that going to be in fees for professional people that you can't tap into otherwise, like yes. your the computer architect and that sort of thing?
There may well be. We're hoping to get some pro bono work in the design side of it, and I will certainly do all I can myself for pro bono. The biggest expense will be wages for a boat builder, really. People have to earn a living these days, and although they love their work and so on. And we already have engaged two apprentices, who are the two boys that have been informally working for me for the last 3 years or so, and helped me with my Coriolanus project. Mm. But they will need to be paid, and we have to earn a living. So really, that, although it's not romantic, the bigger expense is likely to be wages. We expect some volunteer work, and we have one guy who's interested. He's a house builder who's interested in becoming a boat builder. And in other parts of the world, people pay big money to go to boat building schools these days to learn the traditional crafts. We'll come to some arrangement there, probably.
He can pay you.
Well, that would be lovely, yes.
Well, also the boys are learning traditional boat building skills, and. Yeah. We do hope to impart some of those skills to teenagers, I think, yeah.
Mm. Oh, yeah, yes, and something. Maybe do some after-work programs, after-school programs for youngsters from the high school, that sort of thing. We'd like to do some of that, just in basic skills, teaching basic skills there as we get some premises and get the boat going, the work going on it sort of thing, yes.
Is this an appropriate project to perhaps involve the Sea Scouts in?
There is a linkage, I think.
Yes, yes. The Sea Scouts are doing great things these days. Mm. And I think it's something that many of the Scouts would follow on from. Obviously, a youngster who's been through the Sea Scouts, if he comes on this for a 10-day training cruise, is already a step ahead.
Yeah,
and we can extend his capabilities further. But I'd like to be able to give every kid on the island a chance, particularly people from low-income families who may not get a chance to go out sailing and boating and that sort of thing. Mm. Here's this beautiful island. Where are all the kids? I think it can be of even more value to those people than it is to the ones who are already quite privileged, the ones whose parents can afford an Optimist and join the boating club's Learn to Sail program and so on. We find on the Spirit of New Zealand that all of these kids gain really valuable life skills. Mm. Kids who are already leaders, really, they're going to do okay. They'll do a lot better. And the kids who are struggling and perhaps at risk have a much better chance of getting a sense of direction in life and making a good show of it.
Because it's not just learning how to sail, is it?
It's not really about learning how to sail. No. It's called youth development. It's about growing your characters, discovering your potentials, you know, finding learning to get along with others in very confined spaces, challenging yourself physically and mentally, to see what you can do. You find you do things you never thought you could possibly manage. Might be climbing the mast. It might be the early morning swim, a strenuous hike up Great Barrier Island or something like that. Programs that they developed on the Spirit are designed to challenge. Even if there's no wind, they have activities they can do that are challenging and really, you know, help people to grow. Yeah.
And once the Kate is restored to her former glory, this is something that we do here. We do a similar sort of Waiheke version of the Spirit.
That's the idea, yes, yes.
Yeah, and what a great idea.
Yeah. Another thing I should mention, our present plan is to run the boat without an engine, which is unusual these days. But the boat is small enough that it can be safely manoeuvred with a dinghy with an outboard on it, pushing or towing. And also in the old days, they used to row these boats, even though they're quite big, with great big long oars and sweeps. And in a calm day, give it a try. You know?
Yes, exactly. That's something that used to puzzle me about the days of the sailing ships, how they got them into the berth, you know, because they couldn't sail up to the...
Yes, it involved a branch of seamanship that's largely lost these days. In the marinas, you're not even allowed to sail inside the marina. You have to use your motor. And these wrinkles and things are something I've picked up over the years, and I find very satisfying to use these skills. And it's a lot about initiative and teamwork and just a knowledge of what you're doing, of course. And it would be really great to pass these skills on.
Absolutely. Well, in order to do that, of course, you need to raise some money. So how can the our listeners and people on Waiheke help to do that?
Thanks.
Well, I think we have the website, of course, which is Waiheke Working Sail. We have a bank account. And any donations are welcome, $5 upwards. But I think I'd say go to the website and see the instructions there. Yeah. But any donations are welcome.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right, because you can pay online, can't you?
Yes, we can. Yeah, we set it up.
We're good.
I'm not sure if you're the right people to ask this question of, but if somebody goes online and wants to commit, say, $5 a week, can they do that?
By direct credit, we have our bank account number there, and you can set up a direct credit by all means. That would be wonderful. Yes. Yeah.
And have you got a solicitor's trust account that it goes into, or?
We just have the one bank account so far, which is serving, for...
Which is the trust account.
It's the trust account, yes. And there's myself and the treasurer are signatories to it, yes.
Right. And it's tax deductible, of course, because it's got charitable status, yes.
Well, this is it. I mean,
So we feel these elements. We feel it's coming together very well, really, with the logistics and with the support we've had from the community. So I think it's building very well.
For those people out there who may not have computer access, do you have a PO box or an address that they could send a check to?
I'm using my home address at the moment, 104 Wharf Road, Ostend. Yeah, it's just Waiheke Working Sail is our title.
Waiheke Working Sail.
And
that's who the check should be made out to.
Yes. And if you send that to 104 Wharf Road, it'll get there. Yes.
Well, that's 1081, the postcode.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Very important.
Yeah.
Well, we wish you all the best for your fundraising to restore the Kate and to get this wonderful project up and running for the Waiheke Working Sail Trust. We've been talking to Alex Balfour and Bernard Rhodes, and all the best. And
thank you very much.
We'll, thanks, Jan.
We'll have you back for a progress report.
Excellent. Thank you. Yes. Thank you very much.
Go good. Well.
Thank you.
Waiheke Radio. Yes, you're listening to Island Life. You're on Waiheke Radio, your community radio station. And it's now my very great pleasure to say good morning to Fiona Gregory. Good morning, Fiona.
Good morning, Jan. Good morning, listeners.
And you've come to talk to us about continuing education.
Yeah, that's right. I've come to talk to you about the Waiheke Adult Learning Centre and just to let you know what we're doing this term and what we can offer to people out in the community.
Great. So you've got a wide range of courses, I think.
We do, actually. Not everybody has caught up with the news yet, but this year we've actually brought what used to be community education under the wing of the Waiheke Adult Learning Centre, which also offers lots of literacy programs as well. So they've really come together as one centre now. The community education courses used to be run by the high school. You know, that's sort of been the tradition in New Zealand for many years, but it kind of made more sense in a small community like ours to have all of that, you know, continuing education in one place.
Right. And what sort of courses are you promoting this time around?
So, this term, we have a whole range of things, as you mentioned. We have our free courses, which are there really to help people who need a little bit of assistance to work towards their own goals. So, for example, there's a CV course on offer that could help people who are looking for work. We have a beginning computing course, which is all about helping people who are new to computers increase their skills. And we also have a really great course called Step Up to Success, which is about people finding their way forward. I guess we realise for some adults, you know, they may be at a point in their lives where things have changed and they're not quite sure what their next step's going to be. They might have lots of ideas and they might need to upskill to actually be able to move forward with a business idea or a work idea. So that course is really for them.
Okay.
And as well as that, take a deep breath, as well as that, we also have a whole range of lifelong learning courses for anybody in the community who just wants to continue learning throughout their lives. So we have things like digital photography. We have a really cool new course this term, which is called Ethics in the Environment, which is looking at the philosophy around the environment. We have a website course. And we also have Te Reo Māori courses, English conversation courses, all sorts of different things on offer there.
Do you have a course that something along the lines of texting for dummies?
That's not a bad idea, Jan, actually. I always like to hear new ideas.
I'd sign up immediately.
Would you really? Maybe we should look at that. Maybe we should look at that. One of the courses that we have actually on offer is an iPad course for people who have just got an iPad. And when we first offered that, we weren't quite sure who would come along. But what we've actually found is that it's a lot of people who have been given iPads by their children and their grandchildren as a way of keeping in touch. But, of course, being given a beautiful gift like that is great. But if you're not quite sure what to do with it, that's not so great. So that course is really for people who have decided that they're going to adopt this fabulous technology that we have on offer but aren't quite sure how to actually get into it.
Well, exactly. And you don't necessarily have to be a dummy. I was talking to two different people this last week who've both upgraded their phones so that they can get emailed and GPS and you name it. One of them, particularly savvy fellow, he had to get his son to show him how to answer the phone because it wasn't obviously clear as to how you know, if the phone rang, how he should answer it. And with these pads, the faces of them where you just flick your finger over them, and I'd be hopeless with that. I'd lose things because I'm too impatient. I wouldn't, you know, I'd get what I wanted 1 minute and it'd be gone the next. So,
well, I think it's really interesting because, you know, when I look at our kids who have just been brought up on all this technology, it's very intuitive for them. And, you know, they're not worried about doing it the wrong way. They just have a go and try it out. But for those of us who have had to learn about digital skills as adults, it can be a little bit more worrisome, I guess. We're not dummies. Nobody's a dummy. But we might think, oh, my goodness, I might lose something important or I might press the wrong button. And sometimes it's just coming along to a course can give you that extra little bit of confidence to get you started so that you can then go off and find out how to do it yourself if you need to learn something new. And that's really the beauty of those courses. The iPad course is a nice little four-week course where you can come along. It's only 2 hours and just come along and get some tips from the tutor, work out how to get into all these different apps and programs that you've heard about and get started.
That'd be great. When I first... The first time I saw a a computer was quite a few years ago. You know, it was an Apple.
Mm.
And it was brilliant because if you're typing away furiously and you hit a button, a little sign would come up saying, you are about to do such and such. Do you really want to do that? Yes or no? And I really think that should be compulsory on all digital equipment and computers and laptops and things.
Yeah, as long as you can turn it off when you have got your head around it.
Yes, I guess so.
I have to admit that I'm one of those people who absolutely loves technology, and I'm all in favour of adopting the latest thing. So I've come to absolutely love it. And what I would say about technology is that, you know, it is a really important part of our world these days, but people shouldn't be worried about adopting it if they haven't done so before. You know, there's actually still a lot of adults who are coming to grips with computer skills, iPad skills, iPhone skills, or I should probably mention different brands, otherwise I might get in trouble, but not just Apple's, but any kind of tablets or phones, smartphones that you might have. And you know, it is important to have a go at these things if you want to do that. And we can definitely help people with that in a way that's completely non-threatening and non-judgmental, because there's lots of reasons that people might not have picked that up before.
Exactly. So we're talking about adult education courses. They're not at the high school now.
Well, we're still in the same location, but we've changed our name. So we're called Waiheke Adult Learning now, which we thought was a little bit simpler. Just says what we do, really.
Right. When do the courses start, Fiona?
So the courses are starting pretty soon. Some of them start from the 13th of August. So that's only about a week away. But they're going to be starting over the next few weeks, actually. So what you can do if you're interested in it is to have a look in the Golf News or the Marketplace. We have our program there. We also have our program available online on our website, which is wal.org.nz. And if you prefer, you can pick up a brochure from the Library or Citizens Advice Bureau or Work and Income.
That sounds great. Thank you very much for coming in on a busy Saturday morning for you, Fiona.
That's all right. I've just come from soccer and I'll go on to the next kids' activity now.
Well done. Well, thank you for coming in. We've been talking to Fiona Gregory about Waiheke. Now you've changed your name. No, Adult Learning?
Waiheke Adult Learning. It's very simple. It's for adults and it's about learning. And we just encourage everybody to have a look at what's on offer, get involved, give things a go, and just continue your learning throughout your life. It's lots of fun. You get to meet some new people.
Absolutely. And, brilliant. Yes. Great. Okay. Well, thank you for coming in. And guess who's just danced into the studio but Helga Meyer. Welcome, Helga.
Thank you, Jen.
Yes. Now, you're going to have a quick chat to us about ballroom dancing.
Yes, a very quick chat. We have a ballroom dance club on the island, and it's just celebrated its first anniversary, so we have been going for a year. We meet every Tuesday, usually during school terms. This time it's a little bit shorter. We finish a bit earlier. So we usually meet every Tuesday at the Ostend Memorial Hall, the RSA Hall, at 7:30. It goes from 7:30 to 9. And we have Brian Jones from Dancing with the Stars is our teacher. Oh, we are so fortunate. It took me 5 years to set up. He's a very, very busy man, and because he's absolutely top world class, you know, dance professional. So we are very lucky to have him. So he comes over usually every other week. We try to reduce the frequency of him coming because he is absolutely not cheap, of course. So eventually we probably have him once a month. And in the in-between weeks, we just dance socially and have a great time and help each other. And we, you know, then practice what he has taught us the week before. And it's great, 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 great fun.
And you cover all sorts of ballroom dancing,
yes.
Waltz, foxtrot.
Yes.
Do some of the Latin American?
We do some Latin also, yes. We do. We have already done mambo. We've done samba, we've done rumba, we've done cha-cha-cha, you know, there can be salsa if people want it. Brian, you know, him being a professional, he has such a wide range that he can teach. So anything people want, he does, you know. Mm. So, yeah, and then, you know, the tangos and all the, you know, more, you know, ballroom, and rock and roll, East Coast Swing, West Coast Swing, you know, you name it, we do it. Yeah,
sounds brilliant.
Great fun.
It sounds brilliant. Yeah, Everybody should get down there. Now, what night is it on?
It's on Tuesday nights.
So every Tuesday?
It's every Tuesday, not in the school term, in the school holidays, and this time it's a bit of a shorter term, so we go the first week of September. This time is our, you know, is our last one, so give me a ring, you know, occasionally there is a change, so you know, either just pop down in the next week or two. On the 27th, that's not quite sure yet whether we have that one or not, because I have to actually go away to get my citizenship ceremony. I'm so excited.
Yes.
So, you know, there might be a little change in there. But, you know, give me a ring or just roll up. 2210 is my number. Of course, the perpetual question, do I need to bring a partner? Yes. If you have a partner, please bring... It's usually a hymn. So... at the moment, we are quite balanced. We have equal number of men and women, but there are often more women who want to dance than men. So, you know, if you are a woman listening into this and you haven't got a partner to bring along, just come. Brian takes turns in dancing with the women who don't have a partner there. We sometimes do change partners. I'm trying to learn the leader's role at the moment. So, you know, yes, we do, you know, just come. Just come and have fun.
Okay, that's Tuesday nights at the Austin Hall.
Yes, that's right,
ballroom dancing.
Thank you so much.
Helga.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you, bye. Thank you.
You've been listening to the interviews from Island Life, a weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues, every Saturday morning from 10 till 12, with interviews repeated on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 12:30 p.m. Island Life is brought to you by The Village Butchery, the place to go for great cuts of meat and friendly service. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Oneroa.